Hello, and welcome to a SearchStorage.com expert podcast. My name is Rachel Kosman, and today I'll be speaking with Mark Peters, an analyst at Enterprise Strategy Group, about the best practices for solid-state drive storage technology. Welcome, Mark. Let's get started. To start off, can you talk to me a little bit about what types of I/O intensive applications will be best suited to SSD technology?
Indeed, I will, and thank you for asking me to speak today. I'm pleased to help a little bit. So the first off, I was thinking about this before we started. Of course, when you say which types of I/O intensive applications are best suited, you've sort of answered your own question, because it's whatever is I/O intensive, and that's going to vary by application and by user. But you know, if it's I/O intensive, it's probably going to be suited to be helped by solid state in some form or other. Getting a little bit more specific, you're probably talking about things that are more read than write intensive in general. You know, maybe later I'll give a little additional information on that. And the other thing to bear in mind is that, of course, there's going to be different forms of solid state today and tomorrow. And again, we can add some of that later. But just to give you a specific answer, I mean, the sort of applications you want to look for from an operational perspective, if you are doing anything like short stroking right now, which obviously reduces the efficiency of the amount of your capacity that you're using, then those are good things. And most people are trying to get their operational expense down these days, so that's a key area to look at. And if you want to be very specific rather than operationally, to look by applications, typically you're going to look, I mean, it runs the gamut. It could be databases, high-performance computing. It could be finance, video. can be email. It can be anything. But those are good examples of the sort of I/O-intensive applications that are most likely going to be looked at first.
Great. Thanks. Moving on to our next question. When evaluating SSD technology, why should somebody concentrate on cost per IOPS and not cost per gigabyte?
The glib answer is that, you know, the number one reason that people buy solid state is for performance. They don't buy it for capacity. So if you're buying performance, why measure capacity? I know that seems kind of tautological, but, you know, let's be honest. Right now, solid state for most people is not a capacity device, therefore it's not a sensible way to measure it. Getting a little more accurate in terms of the answer, the nature of the entire storage hierarchy is about economics. You know, putting it perhaps over simply, if storage is all you did, storage period, you just stored stuff, that's useless. What's the point? Even when it's long-term storage, it's being stored with the idea that it might be used. Therefore, it's the usage that's important. Therefore, if you're using high I/O intensive applications, measure the IOPS, not the gigabytes. That's what it's all about. Now, I've heard some people say they don't want to pay more for performance, that they don't really get it. Honestly, they do. You talk to any manager, anyone listening to this in the data center business, and if all they cared about was the cost per gigabyte and not the cost of IOPS, then they'd have everything on tape, wouldn't they? And when you put it like that, it's kind of very obvious. Sometimes people also miss out, for example, we talked about short stroking already. If you're doing something like short stroking, let's say you're only using, you know, for real high I/O intensive applications, 10% of a spindle. Well, you just increased the per gigabyte cost of your spinning disk by a factor of 10. So there's no point looking back at the original cost of it per gigabyte on the brochure or the price list. If you're only using 10% of it, you multiplied the price by 10. That's why we need to start thinking about things differently.
Okay, makes sense. Our next question is, are there any best practices for determining which type of SSD will best fit in your environment?
Sure, if you've got an absolutely unlimited budget, you can go buy a whole load of it. And I'm not being entirely cynical when I say that. I mean, things like the size of your application or the size of the data attributed to an application, the budget you have, are important. If it's a fairly small size, and let's say you're running your servers in an open office space, you may just like the quiet that this provides you and the environmental benefits that it provides. More significantly, there are a number of places, only a small number right now, but a number of places who've gone all solid state. There's an airline reservation system, for example, and you can very easily understand why they would do that, because the application demands it. But for most users, they need something more pragmatic than that, because they're only going to use a percentage. So how are they? What's the best practice they're going to decide? Well, I'll give you two ways of looking at it. First is just the pragmatic from an application perspective. If you want a very small amount of your data, typically a very small, that is consistently getting some of the fastest possible responses, at least from a storage system, then that's going to go on a solid state disk that you use as a tier, flash drives as a tier. If you want a slight, still a boost to your performance, not quite as much as having it on a defined set of data, but spread over all of your data, then you're going to use solid state as an expanded cache operation. So that's one way of looking at what you're trying to achieve and a way of thinking from a best practices point of view of what you want. The other thing you want to do, very pragmatically, is look for vendors that have tools so that you can gauge the impact of various types of solid state before you buy any or all amount of that. And quite honestly, you want to look for vendors that either offer or will at least be prepared to discuss different options around solid state. As we've already mentioned, it can go in different places, be used in different ways. You don't want to deal with someone who won't even discuss the fact that there are possibilities within the overall tiering and hierarchy model.
Thank you. And for caching purposes, why should somebody consider NAND flash solid state drive?
Well, as I say, what it allows you to do, so to answer that first, why might you want it, is the fact that it's going to give, like all caching does, some level of performance boost across a wide spectrum of your data. Now, it's worth remembering that there are multiple types and layers within each layer in the hierarchy, there tend to be multiple types of media that support that. So we're used to having, everyone talks about multiple types of disk, there are multiple types of tape. There are even, and this is where the point I want to make, multiple levels of cache. You can use disk as a caching device because you have different levels of disk, and you can particularly use algorithms to use disk in that fashion. You can use DRAM, as we know, memory, as cache. And you can use NAND flash as another level within the caching hierarchy. Why would you want to use it? Well, it expands the high-speed cache, which is, as I say, good for a general performance boost over a lot of your data. Again, a reminder to what I said earlier. If you're going to use solid-state disk as a tier of storage for persistent data, then that's going to be for your very active random I.O., and it's going to be for a limited subset of your data. So that could be databases, online transaction processing, web services, that sort of stuff. If you're going to use it as a cache, then probably more read-intensive is what you're looking at. As I say, it's not the ultimate boost that you would get from putting it specifically on an SSD and leaving it there, but it's going to make your average read faster across a broad spectrum of your data. So that could be for collaboration tools, it could be for SharePoint, it could be for Exchange, directories. And there's no reason that it might not be used for databases because, as we said in answer to the first question, you know, I/O intensive means different things to different people. But I think that gives you some idea of where NAND flash fits into caching.
Yeah, that's very helpful. Thanks. And our last question is, why is it important to plan for a possible SSD tier?
It's an interesting question. I think many people are doing it anyway. I think, you know, you just need to stand back and look at the world as a whole. You know, there was a time when the best thing we had was punch cards. Then there was a time when tape was the best thing we had. Then there was a time when disk was the best thing we had. It looks very much from the extent of investment, the extent of interest. We've still got to work a little on the usability across the spectrum for flash, but flash, SSD, NAND, it is coming. As we've talked about here, there are a number of options. It's not just one thing. You can put it in the server, you can put it in the controller, you can put it in the disk system itself, you can use it in different ways, and it's just part of, I think the reason you want to plan for it is because it's just one of those coming things. There is no tablet of stone somewhere that says that storage systems have to spin. And if we can do it better and ultimately make it more efficient or cheaper in some perspective, then that's going to be a good thing. A final little interesting point I'd just like to make, you know, even going back to your question about cost per gigabyte compared to cost per IOPS, if you can put your highly active I.O. onto a limited amount of solid state, you may well be able to, A, use less spinning stuff anyway, because we talked about the short stroking and getting some space back there. And as well as that, you may be able to use more, for example, slightly slower, slightly higher capacity drives, typically SATA drives instead of a lot of the fiber channel that many people use. And if you put all that together, you may actually be able to get your cost per gigabyte across your overall data center down as well. So we're just at the beginning of the adoption curve for this. Why should you plan? Because it's going to become bigger and bigger. And in a few years' time, it'll seem odd if you don't have it in some form or fashion.
All right. Well, perfect. Thank you so much for speaking with me, Mark.